Welcome to SOMA, where we believe that life is better together. We exist so that you can know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. Join us as we hear from our special guest.
All right, good morning. How are we doing? It's good to see you guys. If you are liking who you're sitting next to, come on, you chose them, right? So if you're liking that and you love Jesus and you're excited about today, make some noise in this place. SOMA, come on, get the blood pumping at the 11 o'clock. A couple things to celebrate. We launched a third service today, 8 o'clock. It happened. Okay, I was there. I saw it. It happened. As a lot of people moved to 8 o'clock, I want to say thank you to everybody who's making more room for more people. And we believe going into Easter Sunday, that's just our posture. We want to serve people. And so we had a lot of our core SOMA family move to the 8 o'clock service. So if you enjoy mornings, it's like your thing. You love mornings. You're that person. You're up at 5 and you're tired by 12. Come to the 8 o'clock service, okay? It's a party. It's my favorite service. It's my favorite service. I told them I would tell y'all that, okay? So 8 o'clock, come. Also, SOMA Kids, we are officially back with SOMA Kids, 9:30 and 11 o'clock service. Shout out to our SOMA Kids team, the real heroes. Give them a clap. It's so much fun. So, you know, for those of you that are praying, thinking about where you want to get plugged in, and you have a passion for the next generation, I want to encourage you to take a next step and join that team. I came to faith in Christ at an early age. I know many people who are part of our church family did so as well. And if you think about your own life and the impact that people have had, maybe a Sunday school teacher or group leader or someone in whatever kids ministry you grew up in, youth, that kind of thing. By the age of 18, a lot of people have already experienced the gospel. So it's a massive thing for us. Shout out to SOMA Kids. We're in a series called Whatever It Takes. If you're new with us, it's your first time with us, we love you day one. You belong day one. We're so glad that you came. We had a couple friends help us teach through this series, and we're so excited to be able to share some time with Chris Dew today, and his wife Kathleen are here, and they're super fun couple. They came in the fall, and it was so good. We're like, we were bringing them jokers back as soon as we can. So that's what we did. And also, his personal story of what God's done in his life fits so nicely into this series, Whatever It Takes. Just a series all about the gospel, all about reaching people, serving people with the message of Jesus and what he's done in our life. So you guys do me a favor. When he's up here today, man, just holler at, just be like, yes. Just shout him down. Just be like, amen. If you're not, you don't come from that culture, just be like, that's what's up or whatever. Just say, I concur. Like, you could, you know, just like raise your eyebrows. Just like smile at him. Laugh at his jokes. All the good stuff. Anyway, you guys make Chris welcome this morning. Come on, make some noise.
Appreciate it, Pastor.
What's up, family? How y'all doing this morning? You good?
Come on, man. It's awesome to be at church this morning. Do y'all mind praying with me real quick before we jump into the message? Because I really believe that the Lord has a word for us here this morning, and I'm just excited to watch him work. Yeah, let's pray together. King Jesus, we just ask that you would flood this room right now with your presence. And we're excited to be at church this morning, and we're excited to be in your presence. I mean, you are what this whole thing's about. It's about you and just your love and your grace and your gospel. And I pray right now that you would take me out of the way, that you would give me lots of energy in this service. And I pray that you'd be glorified. Would you change our lives? And would you just empower us to live on mission? In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, everybody good? Third service for me. Have some grace on me. Scream at me, shout me down. I like you. You just do it like whole service, do that. Oh man, but it's an honor to be here. Personal evangelism is our topic this morning. And I don't know about you guys, but when I started hearing preaches like this, I was scared to death. I was like, you want me to do what? With who? And now? And it was like, God, I don't know if I can do that. If you've heard my story, then you've heard that I had a horrible speech impediment as a kid. Like, it was bad. I could not talk at all, right? If you were like, hey, what's your name? I'd be like, super awkward, right? Like, my whole childhood, that's how life was. Lots of anxiety, lots of just hesitations. I was always anxious every place I went. But on top of that, I had this hole that was in my soul that I really didn't understand why it was there. It was like this emptiness that I had friends and stuff who were happy and laughing, and they would joke, and I could kind of smile on the outside. But on the inside, I was empty. There was a hole in my soul. And as a young child, I made a decision, hey, I'm gonna try to get as much pleasure from this world as possible. Because if I've got this anxiety thing going on and I've got this hole in my soul, then my plan in life is to calm my nerves and to flood that hole in my soul. And I tried all kinds of different things. I hopped from thing to thing, but eventually I smoked weed for the first time and I thought I'd found my answer. I was like, this thing calms me down a little bit. I can just hang out alone and I can relax. And I was like, that's all I'm gonna do though. I'm just gonna smoke weed. I'm not gonna do any harder drugs, except quickly that snowballed into harder and harder drugs and I became a heroin addict. As a high school kid, I was in and out of treatment centers trying to get clean because I was hooked on heroin. And I hit lots of low bottoms. I had lots of health issues and a lot of legal issues and a lot of just lots of issues in general. But I finally hit a bottom. I got down to like 100 pounds, which I'm like 180 now, so about half a human ago. Track marks up and down my arms, horrible speech impediment, and could not get sober. But I hit that low bottom, and my options were really homelessness or yet another treatment center. And I was like, I'm 100 pounds. That probably won't go well out on the streets. So let's try to go to treatment again. And I'd been there about a week or so, and I was invited to a church service. And I was like, man, I don't really want to go to church, and it's Christmas Eve, and I heard there's cool music, so let's go. And I went, and that night I heard all about Jesus. I heard about the love of God, how he loves screwed up people like me and how he can change my life if I just hand him all the broken pieces of it. And I'm telling y'all, that night, I placed my faith in Jesus and nothing has been the same since. I had a real encounter with a real God and he literally changed my life in an instant. And I loved that. I was like, this is amazing. I love what you've done. But then about 3 months later, I heard that that I'm not called to just hoard my spirituality, that I'm called to spread it to others. And I was scared to death. I was like, God, I literally can't order a cheeseburger because I literally stutter on every word. How am I ever going to tell my story? How am I ever gonna tell Jesus, like, how am I ever gonna tell people about you, Lord? And he said, I made your mouth. I can do anything I want with you. I was like, I'd still rather not. But that's probably where a lot of us are today. That you've had an encounter with Jesus at some point in your life, whether it was 3 months ago or 100 years ago. I don't think there's anybody that old here, but as a small child or an older person, you had an encounter with Jesus at some point in your life and he radically changed you. You were a small kid and you heard the gospel and you placed your faith in him and you've followed him faithfully. What a testimony. What a story. It's crazy that he loves people like us, but you may have had a story like that, where you heard the gospel at some point and he changed your life. And here's the commands of Jesus to us is we're not called to hoard that, but rather we're called to share it with our friends and our family and everyone else. Yet you might be scared like me. If you have a speech impediment or not, it's still kind of a scary thing to spread your faith, to share your faith. If you have a Bible, let's flip over to Mark chapter 5. I'm going to read one verse to you this morning. Say thank you. or I could read the whole chapter if you want me to, but let's just stick to one verse and throw it up on the screen, but it's in chapter 5 of the book of Mark. This is what Jesus says. He says, "Head home to your friends and your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you, how he has had mercy on you." Head home to your friends and your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. The context of this passage is that Jesus has been doing great ministry. He's been healing people, teaching people. It's been amazing. And he has some close friends and followers that are following him around, and they're like, "This is amazing, right? Like, he's healing people. There's people coming to him, and we're on this side of town, the right side of town, and it's awesome. We love this." Except then Jesus says, "Here's what we're going to do, though, is we're going to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, hop in the boat, and we're going to go to the pagan side of town." And they're all like, "Nah, let's just stay over here. It's way more comfortable over here. And those people, I ain't trying to go over there, Jesus." But he's like, "Come on, let's go. I'll be with you." They all hop in the boat, and halfway over there, there's a massive storm, the Bible says. There's the wind and the waves are raging. It's like a hurricane on the Sea of Galilee. Man, that rhymed. Did y'all catch that? The Sea of Galilee. Anyways, stay on track. Third service. Hey! Hop in the boat, head over there, and there's the wind and the waves. There's a massive hurricane, and Jesus is asleep in the boat. And I love that picture of Jesus, right? All the disciples are freaking out. There's a storm, there's wind, there's waves. Oh my gosh, what are we going to do? But Jesus is not worried. He's asleep in the boat. And I think that's a word for some of us here this morning, is that we may be freaking out about all the things that are happening in culture, all the things that are happening in your personal life. Yet Jesus is not worried. He's in your boat, but he's asleep, as he understands that he holds the whole universe in his hands. He's not worried about our son. He cares, but he's not worried. And they're freaking out. They finally go down and wake Jesus up. "Hey, Jesus, there's a storm. Can you help us?" And he hops up, and the scripture says that he speaks to the wind and the waves, and there is a great calm that comes over everything. And it's amazing. They're like, "Oh my gosh, this guy has authority over the wind and the waves, over all creation." And then right about that time, they get to the other side of the sea. They hop out of the boat, and when they get out, there's a man standing on the shore with a crazy look in his eyes. He probably had like an eye going this way and an eye going this way. So it was like, "Man, I don't know who this guy is. He looks mad. He looks angry." And he was a demoniac. In his town, he had been outcasted, ostracized because he was crazy, honestly. They chained him up over and over again, yet he would break the chains. And he lived all alone in the tombs, and he would cut himself, and he would howl at night and make crazy noise. He was a demoniac. But they hop out of the boat, and if you can imagine, all the disciples kind of like, "Jesus, you go first. I'm not going." He goes up, they have this encounter. And in one interaction with Jesus, this man is healed. All of the demonic powers are cast out of him. And the scripture says he's in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. It's a miracle. One encounter with Jesus, he went from a demoniac into a man that's in his right mind. And about that time, all the townspeople come up because they hear about what had happened, and they start saying, "This is crazy. I don't know what just happened. I mean, I'm glad he's not like he was, yet this is some Harry Potter stuff, so you got to get out of here, Jesus." He's like, "All right, I'm out." So he takes his closest followers. They get in the boat, and they're about to roll, and the man who is now in his right mind, says, hey, Jesus, can I come with y'all? I want to be one of your disciples. I want to see the miracles that you're doing with other people. Except Jesus tells him no. I'd hate to be that guy, right? Like, you just had this crazy encounter. Everyone hates you already in your town, and then you get healed and they're scared of you now. They're like, oh my gosh, this is Harry Potter stuff going on. And you're like, hey, can I come? And he says, no. And then he speaks to him the scripture that we just read. Go home and tell your friends and your family all that God has done for you. Go and tell your story. There are 3 points this morning out of this text I want to highlight. Here's point number one if you're taking notes. You have a story to tell. You, yes, you have a story to tell. Our culture loves stories, right? They're everywhere. We love reading stories. We love hearing stories on TV shows and all over. We love stories. The other night I was watching American Idol. Yeah, don't judge me. I was watching American Idol, and American Idol used to be awesome, right? You remember this? It was hilarious because they'd bring people on there intentionally who were terrible singers. It was great, right? You're like, ah, this guy stings. You remember the guy that was like, she bang, oh, oh, baby. Do y'all remember that? Some of y'all do, come on. It was hilarious, right? You'd be crying so much because you're like, oh my gosh, these people are terrible. It's so funny. They think they're good. It's amazing. But now that's like, yeah, we don't do that anymore because that's not PC, right? But ultimately now how American Idol is they highlight these people's stories. Explain how they used to be homeless and all the trials that they've been through over the course of their life, and you get so attached to them. It's amazing. I'm like crying during American Idol because I'm like, I want her to get chosen to go to Hollywood. I want the golden ticket for her because her story just hits our hearts. And this is all over culture. We love stories. It changes us. As we hear stories, we learn from that. We're changed as a culture, changed as people, changed as a family because of the power of story. And all through the Bible, this is true as well. It's how the Lord designed us as humans, is to love stories. It's extremely clear here in the story of the demoniac. All right, that he doesn't tell him, hey, I want you to go and exegete all this scripture and I want you to go be a thief. No, he just says, go and tell them your story. Go home to your friends and families and go tell them your story, because Jesus knows the power of story. And Paul as well, right? If you look at Paul, he was a trained theologian. He had lots of the Old Testament in his heart and memorized. He was a Pharisee, right? He had all this training, yet 3 times in the book of Acts when he's preaching a sermon, he shares his story. He could have done anything, but he knew the power of story. And I just want to encourage you, your story is full of power. Every story that's a Jesus story is potent with the power of God. And I know it's easy to think, well, I wasn't a heroin addict. I didn't have a speech impediment. I wasn't a demoniac. I wasn't Paul, right? I don't have a story like that, but I'm here to tell you that if your story involves Jesus, your story is potent with power. It doesn't matter if you were a heroin addict or a church kid, your story is full of power. At some point in your life, you were spiritually dead, alienated from God, without hope, and at some point, the God of the universe stepped into your life and resurrected you from the dead. Your story is potent with power. You're made in the image of God, my friend. He loves you. He made you on purpose, for a purpose, and with purpose. Your story is not useless. He cares about you, and he cares about your story. Your story is full of power. You've got a story to tell. That's point number one. Here's point number two. Your story is part of a larger story. Your story is part of a larger story. I love family stories. Anybody else here love family stories? Hearing about your history and your upbringing and stuff, it's hilarious when we hang out with aunts and uncles or parents or grandparents. I'm like, hey, tell me a story. Right? Like I just love hearing stories about my past and my family and her family. Like I love hearing stories. Because I want to know where I come from. I want to hear about my grandpa who had massive eyebrows like I do. Look at these things, man. I hope our little girl don't have huge eyebrows like, praise the Lord. She's going to come out with all this hair and massive eyebrows. Be like, oh, your baby's cute, like we tell everyone, but they're really not. Third service, y'all. Praise the Lord. We love family stories, right? Because we know where we come from. And here's the thing about explaining our Jesus stories. Every time you tell your story, you are joining with thousands of years of the people of God all testifying to the reality of the one true God and Jesus. Your story is part of a larger story. All the way through the scriptures, we see this, right? We see even creation proclaims the glory of God. All the way through the Old Testament, right? We see Israel, who's a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a treasured possession, all living on mission, proclaiming who the one true God is, especially Jesus. He's a perfect testimony of the reality of God. And then the apostles, right, in Acts 1:8, he explains, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses here and all over and to the ends of the earth. And all through church history as well, right, we read in the book of Acts, but then we read all through church history that people have taken this seriously, and they have shared their stories. It's why we're here right now in a church. Is because people have taken this very seriously. And they've said, hey, I'm gonna share my story. I'm gonna tell other people about the one true God and Jesus the King. And even a lot of them have been killed because of this. They said, don't tell your story anymore. Don't talk about that Jesus or else we're gonna kill you. I can't help but talk about the things I have seen and heard. And now it's our turn. Now it's your turn. This is not optional for the Christian. This is the command of God. That we are called to go and preach the gospel to the whole creation. We're called to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. And Jesus promises, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. Now it's our turn. Now it's your turn. In our culture right now, that we live in a culture right now where absolute truth claims are viewed as oppressive. If you claim that this is the word of God, if you claim that Jesus is the only way to the Father, it's viewed as oppressive. Yet, our culture loves stories. It says, I don't want stats, but I'll listen to your story. I don't want absolute truth claims, yet I want to hear about your personal trials. And as Christians, we believe in absolute truth, yet we can also leverage that cultural trend in order to advance the gospel through story. You have a story. And your story is part of a much larger story, all proclaiming that Jesus Christ is Lord. And here is point number three. People in your life and all over the world need to hear your story. There's people in the world that I can preach until I'm blue in the face and explain my story in 100 different ways, and they're not going to connect with it because it doesn't line up with their story. Yet your story might. There's people in the world that need to hear your story in order that they can hear Jesus on their level. I want you to picture this real quick in your mind. That there's a huge hospital, and every single person in the whole world is in this hospital, including you. I mean, we all have cancer. Praise the Lord, right? Uplifting message on Sunday morning. Hospital, everyone's in there, we all have cancer, and you're about to die. I want you to picture it, that you're on your hospital bed, and that it's getting pretty bad. That your heartbeat is slowing down and your oxygen's kind of lessening, and that you know it's about time. But right at the last minute, a person comes in your room and they say, "Hey, I apologize to interrupt. I know you're tired, but I just wanted to ask you, hey, do you want to be made well?" And you're like, "Yeah, I mean, duh. I don't want to die." And he says, "Well, a few months ago, I was in a hospital room like this, and had the cancer that you have, and it was really bad. And a person came in, and they shared with me how that they used to be in a hospital room as well. When a person came in their room, they had this antidote. They offered them, and that it actually worked. It made me well. So I'm here today because I wanted to offer you that same antidote." And you think about it for a few minutes and you're like, "Well, don't have a lot of other options. I guess I'll take it." And you take the antidote, and it's a miracle. That in that moment, you're made well. That your heartbeat starts to quicken again and your breathing starts to come back. And you're like, "Oh my, it's a miracle." You hop out of the bed and you run over to the guy and you hug him and you're like, "Oh my gosh, thank you so much. What, like, this is a miracle. What can I do to repay you?" And he's like, "No, nothing, it's free. But I'm gonna tell you the same thing that the guy that gave it to me told me. And it's that I'm gonna leave you with an unlimited supply of this antidote. And I'm out here trying to help other people that are sick. I'm going from room to room and just asking if they want help. I'm telling them my story about how it helped me. And I want to ask you to do the same thing. Just please join me in this and let's just head on and just reach other people." This is our story. This is what's happened with the church right now. That we're all spiritually dead, but at some point in time, you heard the gospel, and maybe it's today. You heard the gospel and you heard someone's story about how they had experienced the gospel, experienced Jesus, and you took their word for it. And you said, "Yeah, let me try that." And it was a miracle that when you tried it, when you tried Jesus, when you placed your faith in him, you were made well. He healed you. He gave you new life. He gave you fresh joy. And Jesus has left us with this command. Hey, just as that person shared with you, I want you to go share with others. I want you to go room to room and offer your testimony, offer your story, and offer them the antidote as well of the gospel. Go and preach the gospel to the whole creation. Go and make disciples of all nations. But oftentimes, this is what we do as Christians, is that we experience that, we hug him, we hear that command, but then we go back in our hospital bed, slide the antidote under the bed, and just keep sitting there and act like nothing's changed. It's more comfortable here in this room. I kind of like it here. Old habits, old rhythms, old things, old minds. I'm just going to stay here. And I like the Jell-O cups they bring me. Or that Christians have hopped up and they've been so excited, like, oh my gosh, I'm healed, this is amazing, and they hang out in rooms with about 100 other healed people. And that's all they do. They stay in their holy huddles and they have the antidote, but they kind of hide it around the room. They slip it under their church chair and they're like, yeah, that's good. I'm glad I'm healed. I'm glad you're healed. We're healed together. Praise the Lord. But I want to plead with you, let's not be either one of those types of people. Guys, let's not be the people that just act the same as we did before we got healed. And let's also not be the people that just get in our holy huddles and we hoard our spirituality, hoard the gospel, and ignore the commands of Christ. But rather, let's go from room to room pleading with people, hey, it worked. Let me tell you my story. Let me tell you what happened to me. I met Christ. I was like this before, and then I met Christ, and now here's how I am afterwards. Here's how he's worked in my life. He's real. Let's not hoard the gospel, but rather, let's spread it to every single person we can. Because here's the reality. Heaven and hell literally hangs in the balance of go and tell. Where people spend eternity hinges on them hearing and responding to the gospel. And you have it. I have it. What a privilege it is to join Jesus in his mission on planet Earth. He's invited us into this calling. If you're here and you're a Christian, here's your homework for this week. Two pieces. Homework number one is write your story down this week. Carve out some time to not just, all right, here's my three. No. Write your story. Hey, this is how I felt as a kid. Here's the hard things I went through as a kid. Here's how I heard the gospel and responded to it. If you were 3 or 80 when you responded, praise the Lord, write it down. Hey, this is how Christ met me. This is how I placed my faith in him. And then what's happened since? Here's the struggles I've had. Here's how I've seen the hand of God working in my life ever since then. And here's where I'm at now. I'm still struggling with this or that, but this is how my life is. Carve out some time and write your story down. And here's homework number 2, share your story with somebody else this week. Tell someone your story. If it's a friend or family member that you're like, man, I'm gonna ask him to go to coffee and I'm just gonna tell him, hey, this is my story. Is it okay if we kind of exchange stories? Here's mine, listen to theirs. Have some friends over maybe to the house and say, man, let's just talk about our stories. I want to get to know you. Here's my story. Here's how Jesus changed my life. Or maybe post it on social media. There's so much junk on social media right now. I think it could use some positivity and some sharing some stories. It's better than a conspiracy theory. I could preach. Let me preach. I'm just kidding. Don't do that. He said, keep going. No. Let's flood social media with our stories. Man, it doesn't have to be weird. Just tell people what's happened to you. You have a story to tell. Your story is part of a larger story, and people need to hear your story. But I believe there's some people here that as I've been talking that you're like, hey, I have a story, yet Jesus is not part of it yet. And how you feel is kind of like the person in the hospital bed that's tried everything to get well and you're still in your mess. And I just believe there's some people here that Jesus wants to give the antidote to this morning. I'm telling you personally, I was not raised in church. I didn't understand all the concepts of, you know, all that stuff. All I know is that I was a drug addict who had a hole in his soul, couldn't talk. And through placing my faith in Jesus, taking the antidote, he's changed everything in my life. I'm still a work in progress, as we all are, but I'm telling you, there is a God. Jesus is Lord. He's real. This is not holy smoke. This is reality. There is a God, and he loves you. And he offers you his antidote, which is the gospel. And this is the gospel, that there's a real God who made everything in the universe for his glory and our joy. He made you and I to have a personal relationship with him, to experience the fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore in his presence. Yet all of us have turned away from that God and said, God, I don't want you. I just want your stuff. Hey, God, I know you say to live life like this, but I think I'm smarter than you. I'm going to live life how I want to live. And it's called sin. And the problem with sin is that it separates us from the all-satisfying God of the universe. And he's a holy, just judge. Therefore, his wrath is on all sin, including us, which ends in eternal judgment. Yet the best news in the universe is that he's not just a just judge, he's also a loving father. And he loves you and I so much that he sent his son Jesus, real guy. He came to earth. He lived a perfect life in our place. He was crucified on a criminal's cross for our sins. He was put in a tomb, and on the third day, Jesus Christ literally rose from the grave, conquering sin and death and everything. He hopped up, he hung out for about 40 days, teaching about the kingdom of God. And then he ascended into heaven, and he's coming back one day. That is the antidote. And he invites you to take it, and how that looks, the scripture says, you repent and believe. You say, hey, I'm turning from my old life, hiding in a hospital bed, and now I'm going to live on mission. I'm going to follow you for the rest of my life. Let's pray. Oh, Father, I pray right now that you do what only you can do. I can't do it. Sermons can't do it. The music can't do it. Illustrations can't do it. Three really good points can't do it. You can do it. And I pray right now that you would draw people to yourself in a way that only you can do. With all heads down and all eyes closed, if you're here and you know that this is for you this morning, that you want to invite Jesus into your story, and that you want to become part of his story, then I'm going to lead you in a prayer. It's not the prayer that saves you. It's not if you get all the words exactly right. But it's a posture of the heart saying, I'm placing my trust in you. I'm turning from my old life. I trust you, Jesus. With all heads down and all eyes closed, he's listening. He's closer than your closest thoughts. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and you can just pray it in your heart. He knows your heart. You can pray something like this. Heavenly Father, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I can't save myself, but I believe that you can. I believe you died on the cross in my place. I believe you rose from the grave. I believe that you are Lord. I repent of my sin, and I place my faith in you, Jesus. Save me now. You are the only way to the Father. Heads down and eyes closed. If you just prayed that and you meant it, would you put your hand above your head for me in order that I can see? There's no one else looking around. It's just me. Anybody else? Awesome. 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 For the people that raised your hand, if you would, after the service, tell someone about it. Because this is not the finish line. This is the starting block. We're so proud of you. And we're excited to watch him use you for the rest of your life. All right, everybody else, look up here. Let's go share our stories. It's our turn. It's your turn. I love you guys. Let's hop up and let's worship King Jesus.